My name is Andre Jenkins, and we're going to go ahead and move on with the rest of our service today. I'm just eager to see what God would want to do today. And before I get into today's talk, I sort of want to give you a little bit, just really, really brief, a little bit about myself. I have an awesome wife, Tina, who couldn't make it this morning. She's hanging out with a couple of our friends. They have a breakfast brunch, so that's important to hang out with your friends and, you know, enjoy that breakfast brunch together. But then we also have four great kids and two very handsome dogs. One named Kimmy and one named Coda. They're a boy and a girl dog. They're called Native American Indian dogs. They're like this hybrid kind of dog. Very, very beautiful. Very awesome dogs. And several years ago, my family and I decided that we would start a multi-ethnic church. This was about 9 years ago. And starting a church has been one of the best and worst things in my life. I've learned that I could be on top of the world one minute and then be down in the dumps the next minute. You see, as I found that I can be on top of the world one minute and down in the dumps the next minute because of a text that I read or because of some Facebook post and or something like that. And I really think that church planting and pastoring, for that matter, turns people, men and women, able-bodied men and women, into schizophrenic, bipolar people who have multiple personalities, depending upon who you interact with or what text you read or what Facebook you read or whatever it is. Now, please understand that church planting was not my first choice for a career. Church planting was and pastoring was not something that I wanted to do. I didn't actually want to start this church. And to this day, anyone who will listen to me, I tell them that it was God's idea for us to start this church. See, I decided to follow Jesus in 1999, and by 01, I started getting these stirrings for starting a church. And I sort of stuffed those stirrings as far down as they could go because I just thought it was my overactive ego. You see, I'm the type of person who likes to progress, who likes to move forward. I don't like to stay stagnant. I don't like to stay in one place too long. So again, I just thought it was my overactive ego. So I stuffed those feelings and those stirrings down as far as they would go. But then in 2004, God brought those to the forefront again. He brought those to the forefront again. And then I decided, okay, Lord, I'll go ahead and start a church. I'll go ahead and be a pastor and do the things that you want me to do. But I was dragging my feet. You see, I was dragging my feet. I had this like 10-year plan that I would do everything God wanted me to do in the next 10 years. But then God had other plans. He had a different idea. He brought the church planting and pastoring to the forefront again in 2005 at a Vineyard National Leaders Conference in Columbus, Ohio. You see, the speaker for that night was the Reverend Floyd Flake. And God used his talk to seriously shake up my life. He used that talk to seriously change the trajectory of my life. You see, Floyd Flake based his talk that day on Saul, the first king of Israel. You see, Saul was a handsome man. Y'all are familiar with Saul. Saul was a tall, handsome man. And by all outside appearances, he looked the part. He looked like a king should look. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know how as you look through history, you see some presidents, they look presidential, they look stately, and other presidents, you look at them, you're like, why? How in the world did he become president? He doesn't look very intelligent. He doesn't look very smart. He looks kind of dull, kind of dopey. He doesn't look like the sharpest tool or the sharpest knife in the drawer. Well, according to the story, again, Saul looked the part. Saul looked kingly. He looked like a king should look, whatever that means. But there was a problem. You see, on the outside, Saul looked like a king, but on the inside, Saul was anything but a king. And on the day that he was to be crowned, on his coronation day, one of the biggest days of his life, they couldn't find Saul. Do you know where they found Saul? They found Saul hiding in the baggage. You see, this moment was too big for Saul. Saul couldn't handle the moment. So he hid. So after talking some more, Reverend Flake started his ministry time. He started his ministry time, and he talked about people who were in that conference who had God's call on their lives, but they were hiding in the baggage. And that was me. That was me. You see, I was definitely one of those people. As I like to put it, I was running from God. I was doing my best Jonah impression. I was going in the complete opposite direction that he wanted me to go. The magnitude of starting a church and pastoring was just too big. So when he called me for prayer, I basically beelined to the front of the stage. And Columbus Vineyard is a very big church, and we were all the way in the back. And I just beelined to the stage. You know, I'm pushing, knocking people down and getting out of my way because I want to make sure I got prayer that night. So I get to the stage, and I do the typical Vineyard thing. I assume the position. I go like this. Now, just in case you don't know, just in case you're not aware, at Vineyard conferences, you have to go up. When you go up for prayer, you have to assume the position. You have to go like, because chances are, if you don't assume the position, the Holy Spirit is going to skip right over you and go to the next person. You see, everyone does it when they go up for prayer. Everyone assumes a position. So as soon as I get up there, I assume the position. Because I didn't want the Holy Spirit to skip right over me. I wanted to make sure I got prayer that evening. So as I'm standing up there, assuming the position, waiting for someone to pray for me, one of my friends puts his hand on my shoulder, and I was done. I was wrecked from that moment forward. You see, the presence of God bum-rushed me, and all I could do was weep. All I could do was cry. So here I am, this tall black guy, standing in the front, just weeping. Just weeping. Drooling, snot pouring. It was an ugly sight. I was a hot mess, just leaking everywhere. But experiencing God in that moment was life-changing. Experiencing God in that moment changed my life. You see, I haven't been the same since that fateful night. Yes, when I started following Jesus in 1999, that was important and that was big. But submitting my life to God's call was so much bigger. You see, that night I fully submitted my life and plans to Jesus. One of the biggest fears that I have was submitting my entire life to Jesus because I wasn't sure if he was going to be there for me when I needed him to be there. I know I'm the only one here this morning that kind of struggles with giving Jesus every area of my life. I realize that. I'm the only one here. I'm the only one that can relate to that, especially the area of being my provider, because I often wonder, will he provide for me? Will he provide the things that I need when I need them? Simple things, too, easy things that you kind of tend to take for granted, especially when you're working in the corporate world, as I was. Will my kids have insurance when they get sick or when they get injured because they play sports? They rode bikes, they skateboard, they did everything. Exports was their thing. Will my mortgage get paid when the mortgage needs to get paid? You see, over the years, I've discovered that church planning and pastoring was the ideal way for me to get over my trust issues with Jesus, with my trust issues with God. That these are two great ways for me to truly experience our Heavenly Father as my provider, by allowing him to be my provider. You see, these may not be the best for you, but they were the best for me. So pastoring and following Jesus over the years have caused me to have these sort of random thoughts. And I love to do teaching series called Random Thoughts. It would be random thoughts about God, random thoughts about faith, random thoughts about life. And one of the random thoughts that I had one day was, how can I know that God is good? How can I know that God is good? So that's the question for today. How can you know that God is good? You see, there's this verse that helped me to answer this question in my own life. So before I read this verse, I just want to pause and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that this is a Palm Sunday, Father. the week before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. As we pause for a minute, Father, I just want to pause and recognize that this isn't such a happy Palm Sunday for the Coptic churches in Tanta and Alexandria, Egypt. That there were victims of a heinous crime, Father. And I know that there are people there, the lives that were lost, the injured, that people who the survivors are wondering, how can I know that God is good? How can this happen on a Palm Sunday that our churches get bombed? Would you show up? Would you show up in those two places? Would you show up in the community and show everyone how they can know that you are good? And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to the order of the day, I just pray, Father, that all the words that come from me actually don't come from me, that these words are your words, and that as I decrease, that you would increase, Father. And if it is your will that someone in this church today decides to follow you, and I would just ask, Father, that you make it happen, that you stir their hearts today, that you would turn those who are walking away from you to begin to walk towards you and begin to walk in your direction. And Lord, as we have always said, and as I always believe, that we come together on Sunday to have an experience with you, that we come together to encounter you in a corporate setting, and may that be true today, that we have an encounter with you, that you speak to us through me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Psalm 34:8 is a driving force behind today's talk. So let me read it, and then I'll make some comments. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I want to repeat the first sentence again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And that's where we're going to sort of hang out the rest of the day. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So it seems to me that the way that we know that God is good is to experience him for ourselves. And the great thing is that God wants us to experience him. It would be different if he didn't want us to experience him, but he wants us to experience him. And in this verse, I believe that God is practically begging us to experience him for ourselves. And we can't experience him through our parents. We can't experience him through our friends. We can't experience God through our pastors, through our leaders, or anyone else for that matter. It is important for us to experience God on our own within the midst of a community. We experience God for ourselves. You see, here's the thing. When we try to experience God through our pastors or through our leaders or through our friends or through our parents or through anyone else for that matter, it's really byproduct experiences. You're getting their leftovers. You're getting whatever's left over from their experience. That, my friends, is sloppy seconds. I don't know about you, but I don't want sloppy seconds when it comes to experiencing God. I want to experience God for myself. And I would encourage you to also have the desire to experience God for yourself. So it seems to me, again, that the best way to experience God is to experience him firsthand. And we can experience the goodness of God through taking leaps of faith or stepping out in faith. You see, when we take these leaps of faith, then we can experience the benefits of being in a relationship with God. That was something that I had to learn, that in order for me to truly know that God is good is to experience him for myself. And the only way I was going to experience him is by taking a leap of faith. And that leap of faith for me was starting a church. That leap of faith for me was being a pastor. So I think it might be helpful for you to think about it like this. And feel free to answer this question. What is your favorite food? Or what is your favorite restaurant? What is your favorite food? No one has a favorite food? It's okay to talk in church.
I can't make a decision.
Go ahead. You don't have to raise your hand. It's in class. Pasta. Would you say salad? Oh, Italian. Okay. Any favorite restaurant? Anyone have a favorite restaurant? No one has a favorite restaurant? What was that? County Grill. Carrabba's. Right. Chili's. Okay. See, I like local places. I like local restaurants, and I like ethnic restaurants. So anytime you can take me to a local restaurant, I'm happy. Anytime I can visit a local restaurant, I'm happy. I used to love chains, but then I found, after watching like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, that show on TV, they talk about all those great places. I'm like, ooh, I got to go try that when I go there. So it may be helpful for you to think about it like this. How did you know that your favorite food was your favorite food until you actually tasted it? How did you know that your favorite restaurant was going to be your favorite restaurant until you actually went there and tried it? You see, until you actually taste the food, or until you actually taste or go to the restaurant, you think it's good by looking at a picture of it in the menu, or watching a picture of it on the TV screen. Or maybe even someone else has told you that the restaurant is good. But until you actually try it for yourself, you don't really know that it's good. Now, I don't believe that God wants us to be window shoppers. He doesn't want us to just rely on other people's experience. You see, he doesn't just want us to admire the pictures in the menu, but never actually try the food. He doesn't want us to press our faces against a restaurant window, looking in, looking at other people while they're eating, saying, ooh, her ribs sure do look good. That guy's burger, tasty. One of these days, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to try that. No. Listen. There's a huge difference in knowing that God is good and experiencing his goodness for yourself. Huge difference. You see, the difference is head knowledge versus heart knowledge. Head knowledge is all up in here. It's the things that we've been fed through movies, through books, through friends, through songs, through magazines, and a whole slew of other places. Heart knowledge is all up in here. That's just about everything starts here. But then it eventually travels down and moves towards your heart and becomes heart knowledge through experience. So if you're the type that tweets, here's your tweetable thought for today. When you experience God, you really come to not only know the things you know, but also believe the things you know. When you experience God firsthand, you really come to not only know the things you know, but actually believe the things you know. It seems to me that, unfortunately, as we've moved further and further away from Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, that we've taken this attitude, and I don't believe it's a good attitude, that we've taken this attitude that Jesus isn't to be experienced. We've taken a cautious approach to faith. You see, I think a faith has developed right alongside, or a fear has developed right alongside our faith. And this fear seems to have been developed because, let's face it, let's be honest, experiencing Jesus is subjective. It varies from person to person. And we can't have that, can we? Because we have to have some kind of model to go by, right? Because if we don't have a model to go by, then how do we know that we, or someone else for that matter, is actually having a genuine experience with the living God? So we have to have a model. We have to have something to go off of. We have to have a point of reference. So we'd rather have an objective Jesus. An objective Jesus that doesn't have any kind of life or any kind of personality. We'd rather cling to an objective Jesus that is devoid of a personal and loving relationship. This objective Jesus provides us with head knowledge. Provides us with head knowledge. It provides us with information. Now, head knowledge is more transactional. You see, there's this transaction that's taking place. Jesus speaks. We read the Bible, and then the head knowledge is imparted. There's a transaction. There's a giver and a receiver. There's a transaction. We receive the information. So the relationship with the objective Jesus is more of a transactional relationship. This type of relationship says things like this. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Just tell me what to believe, and I'll believe it. We'll leave it at that. Now, don't get it twisted, okay? You see, having the transaction, the head knowledge, is good. It's a vital part of our faith. And having that head knowledge can be great, but I've also found it extremely helpful very, very helpful for my faith. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't only want to have a transactional relationship with us. He wants to have a transformational relationship with us. Jesus doesn't only want to have a transformational relationship with us. Transactional relationship with us. He wants to have a transformational relationship with us. And that's where the heart knowledge comes into play. You see, as we experience Jesus, he begins to transform our lives. We get the information, and then we allow Jesus to transform us as we live out that information, as we experience him, and as we take leaps of faith. So here's my thing. You see, Jesus doesn't just want to help us with our lives by giving us a couple of good prescriptions, a couple of good guidelines, a couple of good rules, a couple of good things to live by. Okay? You see, he also wants us to experience life in him. He wants to be our subjective, experiential Jesus. He wants us to experience him. So I want to give you a couple of things that you can do this week. These are some things that I've found helpful in my own life. Okay? Now, I realize there's a list. You don't have to do the whole list. This is just something that you can jump in anywhere you feel you are in your faith walk with Jesus. Okay? So just pick one, jump in there, or pick two and jump in there. All right? So one way that I've found to experience Jesus is to know and call him by his name. To know and call him by his name. You see, there's three names or phrases that I found helpful when it comes to God. And these are, the Lord is my banner, the Lord is my provider, and I am that I am. The Lord is my banner, the Lord is my provider, and I am that I am. Now, a banner is another name for a flag. Okay, flags, or in this case, banners, were always found in the front of a group of people. Most likely, it was found in the front of an army. You know, you see, everyone followed the banner. I spent a few years in the Navy, about 7.5 active duty. And when I was in boot camp, we had a flag or a banner, and it was in the front of our boot camp company. We called it a guidon. Now, the guidon was always in front of our boot camp company anytime we went marching around the base. And when you're in the back, you don't really know what's ahead of you. You know, when you're in the back of the company, you really don't know what's coming up. So you have to trust that the guidon knows what's coming ahead, and that the guidon has your best interest in mind. And that you follow the guidon and you wait for the guidon's instructions. So the person using the guidon would give us instructions, and then we would follow those instructions. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. The Lord is my banner. He's our guidon. He's the one that's in front of us. You see, we're following Jesus. He's in front of us, and we watch for his instructions. It's a huge step of faith because we don't always know where he's leading us. We don't always know where we're going to end up. We hope it's going to be good. We think it's going to be good, but we don't know. And that can be a little scary. But always remember that Jesus has your best interest in mind. Jesus has your best interests in mind. It may not always look like it, but Jesus has your best interests in mind. My provider is huge, as I've already told you. I found that knowing Jesus as my provider and actually experiencing Jesus as my provider are two different things. Like before I started pastoring, before I started a church, I mean, it was he's my provider. Yeah. Of course he is. But when it came to taking leaps of faith, then it's like, no, I got to provide for myself. I got to make things happen. It's all up to me. You see, taking leaps of faith has caused me to not only know that Jesus is my provider, but experience Jesus as my provider. I am that I am. Essentially, God is saying, I always was, I am, and I always will be. In other words, I've been there, done that, got the hat and t-shirt to prove it. And guess what? You can rely on me in the future because I'm not going anywhere. Now, understand this, that calling on the names of God is actually just seeking his presence. That's all you're doing. You're just seeking to be with God. It's sort of like knocking on a friend's door and waiting for them to answer, come on in. Come on in. Let's hang out. Again, these are some names that I found helpful in my life. So inside your bulletin, what I did was I provided a little handout. And these are a list of names. So just read over the list. Read over the list this week and check out the verses. Pick out the names that apply to you and your current situation, and you interact with God in those ways by calling on his name. Now, when it comes to experience with Jesus, you may also find it helpful to remember these few realities. These are some realities of our faith, okay? I'm going to run through these really quick. Jesus is pursuing a real and loving relationship with you, with each and every one of you. Not just a relationship where you start when you say, okay, I'm starting my relationship with Jesus, I prayed a prayer. No, Jesus wants to have an ongoing, loving, conversational relationship with you. That's all the time, every day. Now, he wants to know you and for you to know him. He wants you to experience the benefits of being in a loving relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why. You see, Jesus is always working in and around you. That's another one. Jesus is always working in and around you, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Another one is Jesus invites you to join him in God's work. So he's inviting you, he's inviting me into a lifestyle of faith, and that lifestyle of faith includes God's dream for your life. I believe that God has a dream for each and every person here. Each and every one of you. God has a dream for your life. And Jesus' invitation to a lifestyle of faith will include a crisis of faith. And see, that's the reason why the Reverend Floyd Flake's talk impacted me so much, because I was experiencing a crisis of faith. I was experiencing a crisis of faith in that I wasn't sure if God would be there when I needed him to be there. A lifestyle of faith or doing God's work requires major changes in our lives. This is huge. This is huge. I had to stop working in my corporate job. I had to rearrange my life around what God wanted me to do. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. And as you experience Jesus more, you'll know more about him and your relationship with God will blossom. You see, you'll be transformed into the person that God dreamed about, that God first saw when you were born. Now, so from these realities, I've given you a couple more things that you can try out, a couple more things that you can do this week. So if you want to experience more of Jesus in your life, then do this. Stop running and allow yourself to be caught by Jesus. Stop running from the call. Stop running from the relationship. Stop running and allow yourself to be caught by Jesus. You see, he's been pursuing some of you for a very long time. And you already know that he's been calling you into a relationship with him. Well, today might be that day that you stop running and you allow yourself to be caught by Jesus. But some of you are already in a relationship. And you already know that he's placed a passion in your heart to start something, to do something, to have an impact in this city. Well, now is the time to stop running and allow yourself to be caught by Jesus and live out the passion that you have for the city. If it's to make a difference in this city, then live that out. Something else you can do is pray to see God's activity everywhere you go and in everyone you meet. You see, if it's true that God is always at work in and around us, then let's be open to see this reality. Let's be open to engaging doing whatever God is doing. You see, let's ask him to show us what he's doing. Not just sometimes, but all the time. If he's always working in and around us, in the people around us, then let's ask God, what are you doing in that person's life? And how can I join? What can I do? You want to join God in whatever he's doing. You can also pray for Jesus to give you an assignment that will have even the smallest impact on introducing others to the kingdom of God. You see, this goes in line with the one I just gave you. You see, when you see God's activity, join in. Don't just walk away. When you see God's activity, don't ignore it. When you see God's activity, join in. Join in. Jesus said this, I only do what I see the Father doing. Can we be that kind of people? Can we do what we see the Father doing? Now, this next one is going to come with a little bit of a warning. This one is difficult because this is where the lifestyle of faith comes into play. You see, figure out what changes will need to be made for you to accept your assignment from Jesus. As I told you, I had to give up my corporate job. I had to give up, you know, a substantial amount of money to do what I felt like God had called me to do. But the thing is this, I believe that God saved me for myself. I thought I wanted to be a computer scientist. I can't stand sitting at my desk typing all day. But that's what I wanted to do. I don't like it at all. God saved me from myself. You see, living out God's dream for your life will require you to allow your life and plans, because my plan was computer science, computer programmer, database administrator. I had to put those plans in his capable hands. Now, you may think that you're losing out on something, which I thought I was going to lose out on the corporate world. I thought I was going to lose out on what I thought was a dream for my life. But I can tell you firsthand that you're not losing anything. I didn't lose anything, okay? We don't lose anything when we allow God to lead our lives. We gain something much better. So what I really did was I was simply trading my good life for God's great life. That was God's dream for me. Not to be a computer programmer. It was to be a pastor, church planter. Now, my final thing for you to do is this. Enjoy the ride. This is more like an attitude. Enjoy the ride, okay? You see, living a lifestyle of faith and experiencing Jesus as my banner and provider hasn't been easy. It's been very, very difficult. Church planting is hard. It is extremely difficult. And it's been so difficult recently. Regretfully, we had to stop doing what we're doing. We had to actually close down our church a couple weeks ago. But it's fine. It's okay. That was one of the most difficult and heartbreaking things that I've ever had to do in my life. But I'm ready for the next adventure, because I've only accomplished a small part of what I feel like God has called me to accomplish for the kingdom of God. And that church was just one small step. So I'm ready for the next adventure that Jesus has for me and my family. You see, I often say that this whole life in general is a roller coaster. But I'm trying as much as I can to enjoy every single minute of it. So I encourage you to do the same. You see, enjoy the ride of following Jesus. Because here's the thing, life will have its ups and downs, but there's no downside to following Jesus. Life will have its ups and downs, but there is absolutely no downside. If you can find a downside of following Jesus, then come tell me. I'll be the first one to try to listen to you. I might not agree with you, but I'll at least listen to you. There's no downside to following Jesus. Because guess what? Jesus always has been there for you. Jesus always is there for you. And Jesus always will be there for you. So the random thought and the question of the day is, how can I know that God is good? Well, I only know one way. For me, personally, you may know a different way. I only know one way to know that God is good, and that's for us to experience him for ourselves. And some of you are here this morning, maybe one or two, have never experienced God for yourself. And that's okay. But I ask a simple question. Would you be open to experiencing God for yourself this morning? If you are, then just tell him. Would you just be honest? Would you just do that one thing for me today? Would you just tell him and tell him honestly? You know, I've never really thought that much about you. I've never really experienced you. But I want to know whether or not you're good. I want to know if you are truly good. And then ask him, will you come and show me how good you are? Will you show me how much you love me and desire to be in a relationship with me and want to hang out with me? And I'm just going to lead you in a quick prayer about that. And there's no magic in the prayer, none whatsoever. It's really just a heart thing. It's just submitting your life to Jesus. And others of you are here this morning, and you've experienced Jesus, but maybe you don't do it all the time, right? You may even find yourself running from God on an issue, and he's brought that thing up again this morning. He's been bringing it up the past week, the past month, and he brought it up again this morning. Or you may be one of those people who find yourself in the baggage. You're running from your call, just like Saul, just like me. If that's you, then I would encourage you to come out of the baggage and experience Jesus. Experience him as your provider. Or I'll do you one better. Experience Jesus according to the names that I've given you. Look at the list. Pick the ones that fit your current situation. And then experience God by calling on his name. Because you really find out, you really, really find out how good God is when you experience him for yourself. And we can experience God when we take leaps of faith. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How can we know that God is good? We taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. I'm just going to take a moment here, if you would allow me to. I'm just going to take a moment to be still, okay? Sometimes complete silence can be a little nerve-wracking for some, but I think it's good for our soul. And as we look at this time to be still, I would want you to try to just drop everything that's going on in your mind, drop everything that the bills, what you got to do after church, or all the plans, or whatever it is that's on your mind, just drop all that. Drop all that and just be still. And as we take this time to be still, I would ask that you would look for God's presence. Personally, I feel like God's presence is close to each and every one of us. So let's enter into a time of just gratitude, and let's thank God. Thank God for today. Thank God for your neighbor who's sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. Thank God for this church. And thank God for just anything you want to thank God for. Let's take about 20 seconds and do that. Now let's focus on hope and the future. Knowing that God always was, he always is, and always will be. And as we look towards hope, I want to say two things that I feel like God was sort of bringing to my mind during worship. One was there's a couple people here, maybe one, two, I don't know, but that you've tasted God or you've taken leaps of faith, and it didn't go so well. It didn't go so well. For you, I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm still here. Look toward the future. Look toward hope. And just because it didn't go so well doesn't mean that I've left you. Then one other thing I got is, if you're here this morning and you feel like you're in a crisis of faith or going through a difficult time in your faith, again, look towards hope. Look towards the future. When we look towards the future and look towards the hope that we have in Jesus, it's important for us to recognize where he is and where his presence is. And I truly believe that he is as close as we want him to be. So Lord, would you come now? For anyone who feels like that, yeah, you are far away, would you come now? Would you come and show them that you are near to them? You're near to each and every one of them. And Lord, for anyone who may be in the baggage, would you go ahead and find them and call them out? Would you go ahead and bring them out so they can fulfill the calling that you have placed on their lives? And for anyone that's struggling with a crisis of faith, I just pray, Lord, that they see you, point blank. There's no flowery words. There's nothing that I can say. That they see you. And that they see your activity and that they see your fingerprint all over everything that's been happening. Everything. Not some things, but everything that has been happening has your fingerprints. Lord, and if there's anyone here this morning who has never taken that first leap of faith to say, I submit my life to Jesus, would you continue to stir their hearts? And that applies to you this morning. Would you just be honest with God and just tell him, you know, I'm not so sure about this whole Jesus thing, leap of faith thing and experiencing you, but I do want to know whether or not you're good. And I do want to submit my life to you. So would you just pray, Lord, I thank you for what you did for me on that cross so many years ago. And I thank you that you died as a penalty for my sins so that I can have a restored relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I submit my life to your lordship and your leadership from this moment forward. And for anyone, Lord, who prayed with me as I prayed. Again, there's no magic in the prayer. It's really a heart condition. Anyone who has turned their hearts towards you, Father, would you honor that? Would you seal that with your Holy Spirit? Now, Lord, as we sort of transition into a little bit of prayer time, prayer request time, would you continue to show up? Would you continue to do work in and around us? Would you give us eyes to see what you want to see here in the next few minutes? Would you set the stage for that, Father? Set the stage for that. And as I close, I want to pray this prayer that comes from Psalms. One of the things that I do is I read from the Psalms most days of the week. and I write down and I copy the Psalms that really impact me. One of the things that I've been doing is trying to copy all the prayers from the Bible. This is Psalm 20, 1 through 5. So this is my prayer over all of you. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. Rest in that. Rest in that. Stay right there in that. May he remember all of your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. I want to read one more. This is Numbers 6, 24 through 26. This is my final prayer for you today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And all God's people said, amen.
Yeah, we have a couple. One was from David and Leanne. Everybody knows them. And they just want us to remember one of their cousin, Luann Woolley Simpson's family, as she passed away the day prior to David's mom's funeral. So just keep him in prayer. And the next one, it's for Chris and Carrie. The main one I want to focus on is for healing from various pains and injuries. So, you know, we heard about Chris injuring himself last week. So we can just gather some people around him. And like Andre said, it's time to let's pray over him with our faith and just like pray for healing and all that. And everything else that's going on in his life, it's been a little struggle. And we all know we pray for him like every week because of what's going on in their family. Absolutely. Yep. Various burdens. So let's do the thing as John Wimber would say again. Everybody gets to play.